at 23 Water Street, Bangor. Ameriprise Financial Services, LLC, member FINRA and SIPC.
Hey everybody, this is Dr. Jacob Valley at Bangor Dental Associates letting you know that we are dedicated to providing the highest standard of dental care in a pleasant and comfortable environment. Our top priority is helping you achieve and maintain a beautiful and healthy smile. Here at our practice, we offer a full range of services, including dental implants, porcelain veneers, tooth color fillings, and teeth whitenings. We also have same-day CEREC crown technology, so you can walk in, get a crown the same day, and walk out with no second appointment.
Visit their website at BangorDentalAssociates.com or call 207-947-7503. Back on downtown, where we always celebrate good times, come on. It's time for Message in the Bottle, brought to you by Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, 86 Hammond Street, downtown Bangor. Eric Meehan joins us. Hello, sir.
Hey, what's the half-hearted come on?
Well, it's 2020, man.
Who cares what year it is? The Giants are in the lead of the NFC.
Okay.
In the driver's seat, baby.
All right, I'm in.
Come on.
All right, I'm on board. You got me. You brought me back from the brink. Thank you. Appreciate that.
That's good, because that's all I got.
Okay.
I don't get that excited that much anymore. I blew out all my excitement in the late 90s on the devil. I did. I think everybody has, well, not everybody, Buffalo Bills fans excluded from this. Everybody has a certain like tank of excitement for their sports franchises.
Yes.
And I think I spend it too early. I shouted my enthusiasm away.
I did it with the Red Sox. Most of it went in 04, and what was left was 07. And by 13, I'm like, woot, we won. Woot again. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, it's exhausting. But, you know, I mean, hey, I mean, if that isn't, you know, here's the thing. When the season starts and simply because of proximity, people are talking about the woeful New York franchises and they're equating the Giants with the Jets, it makes you feel sticky. It makes you feel like this is not right. We're not with these people, and we're not, you know, and listen, here's the other thing, with Patricia now being fired, which we all saw coming like a mile away. And I mean, I remember back when Charlie Weiss got hired to do things, all 18,000 pounds of them. And you're like, maybe this is true, this Belichick tree, and my, how the leaves have fallen. But those were all like high profile hires. I'm really hoping that this like under the radar guy who might just actually be a good, you know, like Vrabel's doing a good job. Like one of these kind of like disciplinarian, no BS, defense first. I mean, they look like a decent team. It looks like a team that people are going to start, you know, all the talking heads are going to start to say, hey, I don't want to see them come January if they're the ones that make it that far. And so anyway, it better them also. What are you going to do, them or a nameless team? You can't put a nameless team into the playoffs.
Right.
If you're going to bend the rules to have Ohio State get into your college football playoffs, you got to bend the rules to say that you have to have an actual moniker to make those
happen. I'm good. I'm good with that.
Thank you for sticking with me on that. I'm actually here to talk about wine, I swear to God. But I have so little. Here's my thought, just before I get to wine. Thank God I never got into basketball, because my choices were like, what, the Knicks? Or
yeah.
The 76ers, but as I try to do, I try to stick local. I would have gone with the Nets, but then I couldn't have gone with the Nets once they went to Brooklyn, because that's just not local anymore.
There you go.
I don't know anything.
Hey, I really enjoyed the Bordeaux discussion that you had over Zoom on Sunday.
Thank you. The feedback was marvelous, to the point where people are really asking for more of that. I don't know that many people. No. So what Rich is referring to, folks, is that we did this wonderful two-part virtual tasting with a friend of the store, Michelle Dupree, who is the only American woman who is making wine in Bordeaux and also exporting wine. And we had her on to talk about that. And it was really great. That's the best kind of interaction that I, as a merchant, you know, can kind of hope for, because it's hard to get the information into people's heads. Even as you blather at them in the store and everything, it's, you know, you need to hear from the people who are doing it. Because it makes the wine taste better. I don't know why, but it's the truth. So yeah, that was wonderful. So yeah, what would actually be really cool is the friends that she was talking about, and that we talked heavily about in the previous tasting, Pep and Pat, who are based out of Spain, are hilarious. Of course, the English will not be as good, but who cares, right? So I might try to reach out to them and see if, you know, maybe in the depths of our midwinter, we can do something like that, because I think that'd be really fun.
Yeah, that was great.
Well, today we're talking about Australia. Unfortunately, I do not know any winemakers in Australia. I know a couple who have gone there and done some tinkering. But Australia is something that is, it's a bizarre, bizarre phenomenon. It's a real winemaking country that seems intent on, or at least the large conglomerates seem intent on making it seem like it's like just mass production, cheap junk, right? Like how we were taught to think of like automobiles, like in America, right? Like we were taught to think that like automobiles from Asia were real junk until we realized that they were really good and lasted like 20 years at a clip. And I think that, the large conglomerates are really intent on sort of redeveloping the Yellowtail in the form of 19 Crimes. Here's the deal, the sort of skinny on Australia. It is the world's fourth largest exporter and the fifth largest producer, right? Only about 40% of it is consumed domestically, which makes sense. Frankly, there's not that many people in Australia. Australia, I think, is a lot like Maine in terms of continents, right? Like, a lot of it is inhospitable and kind of, you know, people live on, you know, on the coasts or on the, you know, and on the places where you can actually stand to live. There's wine produced in every state in Australia, with over 60 designated wine regions, but the majority of it is in the south. Really, they call it, you know, it's sort of south central. Very similar to the U.S., varietal wines must contain at least actually 85% of that grape, as opposed to the U.S., which is 75% of that grape. So there's like some efforts on truth in labeling, which I think is kind of cool. I'm sure you all know the major varietals like Shiraz, right? And you have Chardonnay, Semillon, actually like dry Semillon, which is the grape that you find in Sauternes, is actually great. Sauvignon, Riesling even. So you've got all the major players, but unfortunately I think a lot of people are, again, there was several periods of over-optimism in production of cheap wines. So there was essentially wine gluts. There was huge amounts. So this happened, let me see, it was 1980s it happened. Same problem happened in 2004 and 2005, and essentially the government ended up having to pay people to rip out vines because they're like, we need other products. You people really think that like this, you know, kangaroo wine phenomenon is going to just keep going and going and going and going until like we can just plant the entire continent to grapes. Just not the thing. And California does the same damn thing. But in Australia, they really kind of gave it over to that. But that's not to say that there aren't really good wines coming out of Australia. It's just kind of harder to find them. Especially now, like I think people kind of, they start to give up on it. To take it back, it's been a wine region since the 1700s. People understand Australia was essentially peopled by criminals, right? As mentioned in the Princess Bride. But it was also peopled by Europeans, right? And where the white people went, the wine was sure to follow. And that's exactly what happened. They brought clippings from the Cape of Good Hope, which we just talked about. And by 1822, they were first exporting wines. And in fact, they were exporting good wines. They were mostly sweet and fortified wines, but they were so good that actually, like, Europeans refused to believe that they weren't French. They were good, but they were just, you know, it still kind of remained a minor player. And sort of has, even though they export so much, it's like no one ever comes to me and says, you know what I really want? I really want a good Australian wine, which is too bad because I actually stock a couple, but like it's not a thing, which is a shame. Anyway, that's the quick spiel on Australia. Rich, quick question. How many shows do we have left, Tuesdays left in the year? Is it three?
Let's see, 15th, 22nd, 29th. Three, yes, sir.
Yes, we're doing all of those. Okay, good. So I can afford to stop here and talk about tonight. Please, everybody, tune in about an hour from now, 6 p.m., to the Destination Downtown Bangor. We are going to have Bob from Novio's, as well as Brian from the Symphony, and Barry from the Penobscot Theater. A wonderful announcement of a generous gift that Bob kind of made happen in these tougher times for arts, for sure. So please join us at 6 o'clock for Destination Downtown Bangor live feed on the Downtown Bangor Facebook. I think everybody will really enjoy that. It's a delightful thing to be talking about. Something that was, you know, Bob just called me. He's like, hey, can we do this? I'm like, yes, that's fabulous. So everybody tune into that, please.
Excellent.
And
you guys are back open for in-store, right? As long as people up and do the right thing.
For bringing that up. Yes, everybody at the store, you know, as I said, some folks in our secondary and tertiary circles did test positive, and so we were like, you know what, I'm not going to play around with this. Everybody's been tested. Everybody's cool. Please mask up and keep everybody that way. And of course, curbside and car hop as well. So whatever ways you choose to patronize us, we're appreciative of it.
Excellent. Eric Meehan, Bangor Wine and Cheese Company. Message in the bottle every Tuesday afternoon. And again, tune in to the Downtown Bangor Facebook page at 6 o'clock tonight to watch John and Summer and Bob and everybody do their thing. It'll be awesome.
Thank you, sir.
You bet. We'll see you next Tuesday.
Talk to you later.
Go Colt. Go G-Men. Eric Meehan on Downtown as we get set to wrap up the first hour on a Tuesday afternoon. Still to come, Colin Fleming checks in with us.